You want to be on the radio? Do it!
This is a journey into sound. This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new value.
When all is ready, I throw this switch.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Injection, fellas.
Suicide to suicide. What about my suicide to suicide? Suicide to suicide. What about my suicide to suicide?
Billy John was a simple man, worked in the fields most his life. Provided for his wife and kids and left his dreams on the side. One day when the kids left home, well, he picked up his guitar. It had been a while, but his fingers still knew how to reach the heart. Played a song about life and love, his hopes and regrets. Then with a little prodding from the missus, he put it on the internet. When the views started pouring in, tears of joy started to fall. Then they scrolled to the comments section, and this is what they saw. Eat a bag of sh**. Face, go and blow your f***ing dad. This shit just ripped my ears, never heard nothing so bad. I hope you f***ing die, and I hope you get AIDS. You should just kill yourself, you're a f***ing LOL gay. Billy John's wife watched her husband as he shrugged and tried to smile. He put his guitar away, stopped and stared at it for a while. She knew he felt like a fool and he'd never play again. So she turned on her webcam and let her message begin. She said, the man you've hurt tonight, I've watched for 35 years. He's got a kind and gentle soul, and thanks to you, that soul's in tears. And the people said, shut the f*** up, fatty. Show us your t***. 1 out of 10, I wouldn't bang. I bet you try to eat your d***. You should go get sterilized so that you can't have kids. Then they photoshopped a bunch of pictures of her covered in d***. Well, the video went viral, 57 million hits. Billy John's wife became a meme on the internet. They played the clip on CNN and read tweets about her weight. Cause I guess that's the sort of thing that the news does nowadays. And Billy John and his wife did nothing wrong, and they weren't dumb. They just hadn't paid attention to what we'd all become. But a couple weeks later, after avoiding it for some time, a broken down and changed Billy John finally went back online. He found the page of a blogger, he's still making fun of his wife. He signed up and made an account, and this is what he typed. Eat a bag of s**t face. Go and blow your f***ing dad. Your s**t just raped my eyes. Never read nothing so bad. I hope you f***ing die. And I hope you get AIDS. And the world lost a Billy John. And it gained more of the same.
I've never heard it more eloquently put.
And so, we're on the air. Let's see how the broadcast gets from the studio to your home. Of course, you don't hear the real sounds over your home radio. What you hear is a translation of the sound. Sound travels in waves. The picture of a sound wave, if we could see it, would look very much like this. These sound waves, made by the musical instruments, travel in all directions at once. Some of them are hitting that microphone and being picked up by it. The microphone is simply an electrical ear, the ear of the broadcast listeners. It picks up sound waves and converts them into electrical current. The operation of the microphone is very similar to the telephone in your home. Any sound, such as music or a voice, pushes this metal ribbon back and forth, causing a corresponding back and forth movement in an electrical current. When I say one, the ribbon moves back and forth. Watch again. One. This action of the ribbon sends an electrical current along the wire that leads from the microphone. If I say one, two, three, four, the ribbon dances back and forth a lot of times and sends a lot of different currents down the wire. All the electrical currents from all the microphones are controlled and sent out to the transmitting stations. These currents form what we call the audio wave, a wave you can hear. The audio wave still looks like this after it has been changed into electrical current. We want to make this wave stronger, so we amplify it here in the studio control room and again in the master control room. Each time we amplify it, the wave looks a little bigger, like this. Now this wave must travel over wires to the transmitting station hundreds and sometimes thousands of miles from the studio. The audio wave coming over wires from the studio is amplified again immediately after it reaches the transmitter. But the trouble with this wave is that it can't carry itself anywhere. So we have to produce another wave that will travel long distances and carry the audio wave with it. The audio wave looks like small water waves. It will only go a short distance, getting weaker and weaker, and finally, dying out. In water, little waves can travel a long way if they hitch a ride on a larger wave. So for radio, we make a larger, more powerful wave to carry the little waves. This carrier wave is made by what we call the oscillator. The oscillator acts like an electric pump, producing smooth and steady power that looks like this. When the wave made by the orchestra goes into the transmitter, it is put together with the carrier wave by a process called modulation. The modulator controls the flow of the carrier wave and impresses on this flow the music of the orchestra so that the combination looks like this. The carrier wave supplies the power, and the wave made in the microphone writes its signature on it. The result is the radio wave. Now comes the job of making this radio wave strong enough so that it will get to your radio. In order that you may hear it, we have to amplify the current in these big tubes gradually through several stages. In the first stage, the wave looks a little bigger. Then it gets still bigger, more powerful. And finally, it thunders out of the power strong enough to carry it over a wide radius. This radio wave is then sent to the antenna from which it is released. It leaves the antenna as vibrations and travels in all directions with the speed of light. The wave spreads out for hundreds of miles. And finally, your own aerial picks up a small amount of the original vibrations. Radio waves from many programs are being picked up by your radio all the time. You can select anyone you wish by merely tuning in your set to receive the same number of vibrations as a particular station is broadcasting. The radio wave is picked up by the aerial on your car and is carried into the radio set. This wave is still a combination of sound and carrier waves, and your radio set must separate them. This is done in a little device called the detector tube. you've seen one in your own radio. This detector cuts off the bottom part of the wave so that if we follow the top line of what's left, we have an audio current wave exactly like the one we made in the studio. Then the other tubes amplify this current, and as it reaches your loudspeaker, it moves the diaphragm back and forth and is translated into a very good likeness of the sounds you would hear in the studio. Listen. You are invited to listen to this program at the same time next week.
Months after identifying the elusive Higgs boson particle, scientists at CERN in Geneva, Switzerland have announced that they've completely run out of things to do with their Large Hadron Collider.
We found the God particle. That was our main thing. Done. I've got some ideas for smaller things to do, but like, we did the big one already. It's just sitting there now.
The massive particle collider, which consists of 27 kilometers of tunnels under Switzerland and France, and cost approximately $9 billion, confirmed the existence of a subatomic building block of all matter. Now, the thousands of physicists who use the Large Hadron Collider say it would be a real shame if they can't find anything else to do with it.
We've tried some time travel stuff, but it doesn't really work. Black holes, but we already know like a ton about those. Last week, we threw a bird in there. Honestly, we thought it would take way longer to find the Higgs boson.
And we developed this game where two scientists stand on either end of the collider and shoot particles at the middle, seeing who can find the God particle fastest. But then that got boring. At this point, it's mostly busy work.
Trial A1200, what is the effect of putting a human hand inside the collider?
Hey, Sean, stick your hand in there.
I said you would do it.
Director General of CERN, Ralph Dieter Hauer, told reporters that while they, quote, might be able to figure out some more about quarks or something, for the most part, his team has spent much of the past year throwing pennies into the machine and turning it on to see if the pennies come out smushed.
We might just start building a larger hadron collider. Yeah, maybe a bigger collider for smaller hadrons. Or something. I don't know.
CERN has announced on their website that if anyone out there has any fun ideas for experiments, you can email them to ideas@largehadroncollider.com. Coming up next, could this flying car become a reality? No, it's a Photoshop we made.
The European Center for Nuclear Research is to restart its particle accelerator after a two-year shutdown. The Large Hadron Collider will continue its research into new physics in a bid to shed some light on the universe's mysterious dark matter. Scientists think that this dark energy holds galaxies intact, though it has never been observed as it doesn't absorb, reflect or emit light. The machine earned scientists Peter Higgs and François Engelt a Nobel Prize after famously proving the existence of the Higgs boson in 2012. After shutting down in 2013, CERN's Director General Rolf Hoyer says the LHC is now ready to do science again.
We are really excited because we are entering a new phase of the LHC after 2 years of heavy maintenance, heavy improvement of the whole accelerator chain, of the whole infrastructure. And to restart the LHC now at a new energy, at a higher energy, which opens hopefully new windows, depending on the kindness of nature, of course. We are excited.
The revamped device will now smash proton particles together at double its previous speed, producing up to 10 times more data. While the mysterious dark matter that makes up 96% of the stuff of the universe will be the prime target of the research, Dave Charlton from the Atlas Experiment team is hoping it can provide even more spectacular results.
The first big discovery, the next big discovery, we just don't know at this stage. We will see what nature has in store for us.
The giant atom-smashing machine is buried in a 17-mile tunnel under the Alps on the Swiss-French border. It's hoped that scientists will be able to probe further back in time, closer to the beginning of the universe, as they search for answers to life's more profound questions. Meet Han, a humanoid robot that can smile, frown, wink, or even act drunk, all at the push of a button. His multitude of facial expressions are controlled by 40 motors. These are covered with a unique human-like skin called Frubber. The ultra-realistic android can also recognize and interpret the expressions of real humans. Grace Copplestone is from developers Hanson Robotics.
So we have cameras in his eyes and in his chest, which allow him to recognize people's faces,
not only that, but recognize their gender, their age, whether they're happy or sad.
Han is even able to hold simple conversation thanks to voice recognition software.
I think you are perfect man for my wife.
I don't have to do whatever you say. I have my own free will.
Machines to save our lives. machines dehumanize. The time has come at last.
Secret, secret, I've got a secret.
She can smile and she can sing. Customers to Japan's oldest department store chain are greeted by this robot who has just started work as a receptionist there. She's been programmed to speak Japanese but can also be fine-tuned to speak in Chinese and Korean too. And the lifelike android marked her first day at work with a song, well, perhaps lip-synced her way through most of it. After the performance, the robot asked for applause for the opera singer. Oops, well, she is just a robot after all. For some of the visitors, the android was quite an eye-opener.
I'm just so surprised that humans have developed machine engineering to this point.
Her future isn't certain, but she will be at the store's entrance welcoming customers until May the 5th. The company said it will decide next month whether humans will return to this post or not. But receptionists worldwide probably don't need to worry too much. At the moment, she isn't programmed to handle complaints or questions.
You push a little button and you get hot chocolate. Push a little button and you get some tea. The world's gone mad just pushing little buttons, but what about you and me? You push a little button and you make a motor car. Push a little button and you watch TV. Night and day we're pushing little buttons, but what about you and me? Automatic and it saves you time. Someday soon we'll all be very rich, earning our money with a master switch. You push a little button and it's all done for you, easier than saying ABC. The world's gone mad just pushing little buttons, but what about you and me? Automatic and it saves you time. Someday soon we'll all be very rich, earning our money with a master switch. You push a little button and it's all done for you. Much too easy, you must agree. 'Cause one little man can push one little button and goes you and me.
PayPal's global head of developer evangelism, Jonathan LeBlanc, is pushing implantable brain chips as a replacement for passwords, but insists that such technology must be made to fit inside cultural norms before it is accepted by the general public. In a presentation called Kill All Passwords, LeBlanc admits that the future of authentication security is, quote, going to get creepy as traditional passwords are phased out due to their innumerable security flaws. LeBlanc envisages using brain chips to measure thought patterns so that childhood memories could be invoked by the user to unlock their computer.
If you're measuring thought patterns, think of the future of identification on that source. You walk up to your computer and go to unlock it, and what happens is you're thinking, I'm thinking of a memory back when I was a child, and that's my unlock code. Brain patterns directly to laptop. Amazing piece of identity and something that really no one can have because it's a memory.
LeBlanc also discusses how biohacking companies are already using embedded NFC and RFID tags to unlock doors. In January, the BBC reported on a company in Sweden that was implanting its workers with computer chips under the skin in order for them to access the building.
It's making our lives easier. I think people will actually welcome this tool to make their lives easier.
And is there a sort of wider philosophy behind it?
We are early adopters of this technology. We experiment with it. We learn it, how it works. Because I think that there might be a day when the tax man or the big corporates will come to us and say, hey, try this chip, try this implant. And then we, the biohackers, who understand this technology, we will be able to question their proposals.
Daily ID chips with Wi-Fi sensors could also be swallowed by employees to provide secure authentication, says LeBlanc. PayPal is currently working with partners to get the ball rolling on such technology, a process LeBlanc says is part of the payment processor becoming a thought leader on the transition. I can't speculate as to what PayPal will do in the future, but we're looking at new techniques. We do have fingerprinting scanning that is being worked on right now. So we're definitely looking at the identity field, LeBlanc told the Wall Street Journal.
But realistically, the ones that will succeed, whether it's embeddable, ingestible, injectable, or what have you, are the ones that are going to play into cultural norms, the ones that are going to meet the demands of the populace overall, of all the people around, and not be creepy. So even though they seem creepy at the current time, the future are going to be the ones that hit those cultural norms.
LeBlanc's identification of cultural norms as a major hurdle to be overcome before the public becomes comfortable with wearable ID technology or implantable chips echoes similar sentiments made by Google executive Regina Duggan. During a 2013 D11 conference, Duggan said that Google was working on an ingestible microchip that would turn a user's entire body into a biological authentication system for cell phones, cars, doors, and other devices. The company is also developing a wearable e-tattoo that can decipher a user's thoughts by detecting the unvocalized words in their throat.
Does Google now know everything I do and everywhere I go? Because, let's face it,
Harry,
we like you guys, but you're from Google.
Just give him some water and let him take that.
Duggan predicted that young people would want to adopt the e-tattoo if it was made to look cool and was seen as a form of rebellion against their parents.
It may be true that 10 to 20-year-olds don't want to wear a watch on their wrist, but you can be sure that they'll be far more interested in wearing an electronic tattoo, if only to piss off their parents.
Duggan's role in developing such technology can be placed in a somewhat sinister context, given that she is the former director of the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, an agency of the US Department of Defense, which many see as a pioneer of a dystopian Big Brother surveillance society. Google CEO Eric Schmidt even suggested earlier this year that the internet itself could one day disappear as an external concept, greasing the skids for the World Wide Web to exist inside people's brains. In December 2013, Google engineering director Scott Huffman also predicted that within 5 years, web users would have microphones attached to their ceilings and microchips embedded in their brains in order to perform quicker internet searches.
Under a pile of A4 snowflakes. we're the new generation. Generation, we are the battery human. But we were born to be free range. Free range. Got the whole world in our hands. We get the blues as we grow richer. 'Cause we need to fix our loose connection out in the natural world wide web, where humans evolved in three dimensions. We were tuned in by natural selection, and we need to go online each day. But inside we don't get no reception. So join the new revolution, revolution to free the battery human. We were born to be free range, free range. Whoa. We are the new generation, generation. We are the battery human.
The net effect of the Niantic project. We had crossed a threshold in which global security could be at risk.
You may not know it yet, but there's a digital battle being waged on the streets where you live. A battle for control and dominance between two factions that's evident only on your mobile. Welcome to the curious world of Ingress.
Portals emit exotic matter into our world, and that matter has certain effects on our world.
Downloading the app opens the door to a virtual world, powered by Google's Maps. Players are then tasked with visiting destinations on the map, the locations of which are mysterious high-energy portals.
Establishing portal link. Portal link established.
I read the bull to Governor's Island.
Working alone or with others, players then hack and capture the portals in a race to control as much territory as possible.
Ingress is a bit like the board game Risk. But instead of playing it with six people around a kitchen table, the whole world is actually the game board. And you play with millions of other people around the world.
And with 8 million players around the world, it's possible that you'll encounter strange groups of people on the streets at odd hours, all studying their mobile phones.
And we thought, okay, what if we can bring gaming back to the real world? What if we can build a game that makes people move into the real world, be active, and actually have real world social interactions. That's how we got started.
Keen to sustain Ingress well into the future, Google has started working with real world businesses to take it indoors.
So those portals are usually works of art, statues, and those kind of things. What we've done with Sue is we integrated their stores into the game. So we're here in a physical store of Sue, but this is a virtual portal in Ingress.
And while executives remain tight-lipped about the future, they have promised new developments, proof that Ingress is a game that is constantly on the move.
Not all mysteries are solvable, but the joy comes in the pursuit.
In the streets of fear, forgetting all those best taekwondo moves on a barrel of beer. Trying to get a signal through from Ragger FM to the TTI bus, CNN, sucking this wine right out of the vine, and I'm spitting it back again. Grooving, let's cut out of the scene. Go grooving. Grooving, let's cut out of the scene. Go grooving.
Across Europe, there are 35,000 safety cameras and counting. In some countries, speed limits are getting lower and the fines are getting bigger and bigger. Drivers have never needed to be more attentive to avoid speeding. So, beginning with the all-new Ford S-Max, Ford has introduced Intelligent Speed Limiter. Drivers can choose to activate Intelligent Speed Limiter using the steering wheel controls. Intelligent Speed Limiter enables drivers to manually set a maximum vehicle speed. The maximum speed is then automatically adjusted according to information from the traffic sign recognition system that reads road signs and overtaking restrictions and displays them in the instrument cluster. Cars with onboard navigation can also use map data to support the system on long country roads where there may be fewer traffic signs. The system smoothly controls speed using engine torque by electronically adjusting the amount of fuel delivered, rather than applying the brakes. If the vehicle overruns the set speed limit because of a downhill gradient, an acoustic warning is triggered.
What would you do? Japan's maglev train has broken its own world record. The seven-car magnetic levitation train hit a top speed of 374 miles per hour in a test run near Mount Fuji. The new record comes less than a week after it clocked in at 366 miles per hour. It's propelled and lifted by electrically charged magnets that are around 4 inches above the tracks. Central Japan Railway, which owns the trains, wants to introduce the service between Tokyo and the central city of Nagoya by 2027. The 173-mile journey would take only about 40 minutes, less than half the current time. The maglev currently holds the Guinness World Record title for the fastest maglev train at 361 miles per hour. It gained that in 2003, but it's now planning to reapply with its new world speed record.
I was tied to a train track, twisting in the sun, burning up, hoping the trains hadn't quit rolling. I was ready for it to be done. But when you need a train, it never comes. I woke up to you wearing your winter coat. You're leaving everything here but your phone. Leaned out the window, but the tracks below were quiet, calm, and cold. And when you need a train, it never comes. When you need a train, it never comes. The Union Pacific is due for a visit. And believe me, I've got a plan. But the plan's no good without the train. And when you need a train, it never comes. When you need a train, it never comes. Standing in the kitchen with all the dirty dishes, you left a lot of things here undone. The washer's leaking and the porch light's broken. Thing you said should get around to. Use a destruction and the noise of the engine, it's rumbling, would at least be a break. And these thoughts screaming and your voice haunting, the only thing louder is trains. The only thing louder is trains. The Union Pacific is due for a visit. Believe me, I've got a plan. But the plan's no good without the train. And when you need a train, it never comes. When you need a train, it never comes. Train it never comes.
Could it be the cleanest country in the world? Costa Rica has managed to achieve a clean energy milestone by using only renewable energy for the first 75 days of the year, which is a record for any country. Thanks to heavy rainfall this year, its hydroelectric plants alone are generating almost enough electricity to power the entire country. With a boost from geothermal, solar and wind energy sources, Costa Rica doesn't need any coal or petroleum to keep the lights on. No fossil fuels have been burnt to generate electricity since December last year. Costa Rica is known for its clean energy policies. Of course, though, the country does have a lot of things going in its favour. It's a pretty small nation of less than 5 million people. It doesn't have much of a manufacturing industry, which would require a lot of energy. Its economy relies on tourism and agriculture, particularly bananas and coffee. And it's filled with volcanoes and lots of other things that lend themselves to renewable energy. Its tropical climate with high rainfall and mountainous interior. Costa Rica has a goal of being carbon neutral by 2021. New geothermal projects are already said to be in the planning stages to ensure that the country doesn't have to rely on fossil fuels in the future. The Central American state's government approved a $958 million geothermal project last year. Geothermal energy is basically the heat from the earth. Resources of geothermal energy range from the shallow ground to hot water and hot rock found a few miles beneath the earth's surface. The first plant, when completed, is expected to make 55 megawatts of electricity, which is enough to power 55,000 homes. And there are plans for a further two 50-megawatt plants to be built nearby. You may be thinking a $958 million project is a lot of money. But reportedly, Costa Rica hasn't had a military since 1948, so while saving money on defence, it's got lots left over to spend on projects like this.
In my short video, Paradise Stolen, I made the claim that for the money, your money, spent in the past 10 years on war, the government could have built a small home on a small plot of land in a small community for every family in America. I used this as an analogy of what could be purchased for the money spent on illegal and immoral wars. I'm not saying that the government should build homes for every family in America, but then again, if you are determined to piss away $6 trillion anyways, then why not spend it on a utopian dream that might benefit Americans? Could the outcome be worse than causing the gruesome death and destruction of millions of people? The arguments against such a proposal were what I expected. One argument claims that we are dreaming of an unworkable utopia, and that that way of living is inefficient, impractical, and not cost-effective. But these arguments are baseless and the result of lies and propaganda. We were lied to convince us that the insanity of our current economic system is the only system that could work to keep us from living like free human beings instead of cattle on a giant tax farm. So allow me to dispel the myth that it is inefficient and impractical to live decent lives in decent communities. I'll take just one out of hundreds of possible examples I could have chosen from. This is a small town in the north. Their one and only industry is logging. They cut down the logs and load them onto trucks. The trucks drive hundreds of miles and load the logs onto trains. The trains travel hundreds of miles where the logs are loaded onto ships. The ships sail thousands of miles where the logs are loaded onto trucks. The trucks drive hundreds of miles where the logs are unloaded at a sawmill. The sawmill cuts the logs into lumber, where it is loaded onto trucks that drive hundreds of miles to a manufacturing plant. The manufacturing plant turns the lumber into cutting boards. The cutting boards are loaded onto trucks. The trucks travel hundreds of miles where they are loaded onto ships. The ships travel thousands of miles where the boards are loaded onto trucks. The trucks drive hundreds of miles to be unloaded at a warehouse. They are then put on trucks again where they are delivered to retail stores. So, when the lumberjack comes home from work, he finds his wife slicing bread on a cutting board that was made in China. Does anyone in their right mind think this is somehow efficient? And what about the so-called carbon footprint of shipping crap back and forth over the entire planet? But you, they're going to tax because you breathe too much. We are told that the low wages in China make this whole system profitable. I have my doubts. The Chinese are and have always been some of the most exploited people in the world. Factory workers typically work 12 to 16 hour shifts, 7 days a week, with 1 day off a month and 1 week off a year to visit their families. They are packed like sardines into company dorms, and many rely on methamphetamine to get through their shifts. They have suicide prevention nets around their factories, for God's sake. This system destroys jobs here, destroys lives in China, and destroys the environment the world over. And what happens when there are no more jobs here? Who is going to be able to afford bread, let alone a cutting board from China? The only thing this system is efficient at is making obscene profits for a few psychopaths before the whole system collapses and takes us all down with it. So, what's the alternative? How about we don't ship the logs to China, but instead build a sawmill in this town? And not just a sawmill, but a paper factory, a furniture manufacturer, a log cabin kit builder, craftsman workshops, and artist studios. These provide decent jobs and wages which will support many other small businesses like shops and restaurants and theaters. And to make this sustainable, we don't just clear-cut a forest, but harvest only a percentage while planting tree farms and something like hemp fields, so that the reduced production of trees is offset by another industry manufacturing rope and linen and thousands of other products that can be made from hemp. And the products can be transported on a light electric rail line to a distribution hub that links the country together and bypass that side trip to China. I can't give a solution to all the possible arguments to this idea in a short video, but once you start to think along these lines, you will find solutions on your own. But don't take my word for it. There is actually a historical example of how such a sustainable system really worked for a while. And that place is America in the 1700s until the bankers arrived.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
People ask me where I find the ideas for my songs, and I always say, if I knew, I'd go there every day. The San Francisco Chronicle is not too bad. I've gotten a couple of songs from that day. Okay. About a year ago, I guess it was, there was this little bitty item, but it was on the front page in heavy type, and it was about a situation that seemed to strike someone's fancy because they featured it. I thought it was worth a little song, so I wrote a little song about it. A little mouse got into the wires at the Central Clearinghouse in Buenos Aires. One little mouse short-circuited the computers. Says a press dispatch from Reuters. Hooray for the little mouse. That caught up the clearinghouse and sent the stock exchange in a spit and made the bankers cry. So much for the electronic brains that run the world of banks and airplanes. And if one little set them all awry, why not you and I? Then there was another item in the papers about a bank's computers that messed up the accounts, so the farmer's checks all bounced. And his business fell apart, and it nearly broke his heart. So he took the bank to court, and they gave him an award of $150,000. The bank appealed. And on due consideration, the higher court doubled the compensation. There is justice sometimes. So if a computer does it to you, you can sue or chew the wires through. A little mouse got into the wires at the Central Clearing House in Buenos Aires. One little mouse short-circuited the computers, says a press dispatch from Reuters. Hooray for the little mouse that clogged up the clearing house and set the stock exchange in a spin and made the bankers cry. So much for the electronic brains that run the world of banks and airplanes. And if one little mouse can set them all awry, why not you and I?
Now, gofindtheothers.com.
The message is very simple. Think for yourself and question authority.